You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
She wouldn't support my bill, calling for a boycott, nor would she support my bill saying, you know what, if you're going to sell products made with modern day slave labor that we know is also building up the Chinese military, then you shouldn't be able to sell to the Defense Department. None of those she would support. And the thing is, she's always been pretty tough historically about Tibet. She met with the Dalai Lama. She was tough, but she switched a few years ago, and coincidentally, it was about the time that her husband became heavily involved financially in Chinese investments and in Chinese firms. And look, like this is how the Chinese Communist Party operates. They co-opt people.
Follow the money. Follow the money. This February 8th, 2022. Those are the words of Republican Congressman from Florida, Michael Waltz. Talking about how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has gotten so soft on China. She knows it's a threat. You remember the warning she gave our Olympians before they left to go to China? Don't use this as a podium to make any statement about human rights issues, to anything that would denounce or embarrass China. Don't wave a Taiwan flag. Don't do anything because we know these people are ruthless. And yet her husband's doing business with them, and she just sends her athletes off with, have a good time and hope you can come back. The White House immediately pushed back on that. We're going to get into that in more detail today because since we know China is a preeminent threat, I know we have the Ukraine-Russia issue underway. But we have Americans now in Beijing. I don't expect any harm to them, I hope, unless they do speak out, and then we'll find out. But we never should be there for the Olympics. Never, never, ever again should we allow any Olympics. And we should fight it at the international level with the U.S. Olympic Committee and other nations. We do not go to nations where they commit genocide and things of that nature. We're going to get into that in more detail and the connections between Pelosi, her husband, and then, of course, what's being done about Hunter Biden. There's so much clear evidence there. They want to look away on that one, don't they? As they do with Pelosi right now and the rest of them. We'll be getting into that. And in the midst, while you're looking for truth, you're going to hear today from CNN's left-wing pundit, Brian Stelter, of reliable sources. And if you're driving, you may want to pull off and park because that's going to begin our first segment today. And his remarks is that people aren't watching CNN and NN. Well, that's fact, but he's trying to say you're not watching CNN and NN if you say it's not really a news network. It's become a liberal lapdog. I say state-controlled media. He tries to make his case, but I can put two stories in front of him if I had him in front of me and say, how the hell did you miss this piece of news if you're a news organization? I'll tell you how, because it didn't fit your narrative, did it? We're going to be getting into that as well. We're also going to look at this trucker's convoy that continues in Canada. And, of course, we're looking at one preparing for the U.S. And we hear, oh, there's going to be such an outbreak we're going to need. It's going to be violence-filled. It has not had any violence. The only arrest of those been trying to bring food and or fuel to the truckers in the convoy. And it is, again, them standing up against restrictions and mandates which are unnecessary. Johns Hopkins University study said that the other day, and yet Joe Biden in the White House standing firm, and in fact, two Democrat governors are already turning away from Biden's mask mandates. New Jersey governor yesterday, Pennsylvania governor, Biden's home state. No one's buying this story anymore. And then before we wrap up today, I want to share a couple of stories. One of the most decorated heroes in American wartime passed away some years ago, but it's worth bringing that story back and relating it to a local Army Staff Sergeant, Gene Gans, who fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He just recently passed away. Do not miss those stories coming up. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Beale Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
But the people who say we're lacking journalism, that we've become an all-talk channel, that we've run off and we're all opinions all the time, that Jeff Zucker led us astray, those people aren't watching CNN. They're not watching CNN. They're watching complaints about CNN on other channels that don't know what they're talking about. That's the truth.
Right. That's the truth. From Brian Stelter of CNN. I don't know that the guy can spell truth. I know he cannot spell journalistic ethics. Because CNN has shown repeatedly it has none. This is Brian Stelter trying to defend what's been happening at CNN on several levels. Of course, you got the dismissal, or actually the resignation of Jeff Zucker the other day, the guy that's credited with making CNN such a juggernaut after Ted Turner stepped aside. And he's crashed into the biggest iceberg you can find, something titled Truth, ripping holes in his Titanic CNN, because it can't take on water filled with truth without sinking or trying to ignore what they're dealing with. So here's Brian Stelter talking about all these people there. You know, the departure of Zucker, the departure of Chris Cuomo, who was also tied to a sex scandal, remember? And on top of that, advising his brother, who at the time was Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, how to handle two things. One, the women claiming that he was harassing and molesting them. Chris Cuomo, who has his own baggage with that area apparently, was trying to advise his brother while also having him on the air, and they would talk about anything and everything but an issue. And with all the deaths in the nursing homes, because Andrew Cuomo ordered nursing homes, you have to keep COVID patients in your facility. If they come to you, they have COVID, you have to take them. In other words, putting the most vulnerable of the population the most vulnerable basically into death camps by his order. And then later said, well, that's not what I meant. Your order said that. So Chris Cuomo is out because of, he got slapped on the wrist when he was caught advising his brother on how to handle the eruption of complaints about molestation and so forth. But then the complaints came up against him, and so they had to go. And then Zucker had to admit in a meeting, yeah, I have had a long-term relationship with a woman who started as an intern, now at an executive level. You talk about sleeping your way to the top. That's pretty much the description. She may have great qualifications beyond that, but they just got dissed and demeaned. And then, of course, you have this entire network that claims it's giving you news. So how does Brian Stelter, identify news and prove to you that we are CNN. We bring you news. Listen to this.
CNN has more bureaus around the world than almost any other news organization on the planet. That map covers the world. London and Moscow and Hong Kong and Beijing and Nairobi and all the rest. That's why one of the network's slogans is go there. On the day Jeff Zucker resigned, CNN aired more than 135 reporter hits, 135 reporters in the U.S. and around the world. I'm talking about dozens of live shots from international correspondents in just one day.
Okay. I don't know if they had the most world bureaus than anyone. I'll grant that. But you know what most of these bureaus consist of, honestly? A guy in that country, the native to the country, and he's considered their bureau chief. They had no one else under him unless something breaks out. And then they will send in a crew, and then they are working out of that bureau. That's the real story, my friends, behind network bureaus. There, you've never been a network correspondent. How do you know? Oh, I know. And they know. And he knows by putting up that map, as he was when he was speaking, behind him showing all these red dots of where we're located and so forth. See, there's proof that we're everywhere. It looked like measles. But are they really effective, or are they just sitting there, you know, maybe something will break, maybe. And I can understand somebody trying to make their bureau big and everything, but there's nothing happening there, and they're not getting any resources, but it's still listed as a bureau, and they're being paid somewhat. Often if it's a native to that area, they're not getting to give them much. But in addition to talking about how many bureaus we have and how many reports we did, even on the day that Jeff Zucker resigned, showing that we still did our job, our J-O-B, which is L-I-E, and distract, Stelter's still adding more defense.
On the day Jeff Zucker resigned, CNN published more than 215 stories on the website, nearly 90 original videos. That's a hell of a lot of news. It's a hell of a lot of journalism. Do some of the anchors say provocative things? Yes. Do some of those clips get played over and over again on other channels and mislead people about what CNN actually is? Yes.
Well, there's your problem. Do some of our anchors say provocative things? Yes. Well, they should not. If you're a news organization, if you're a news anchor, you don't do that. You stick with the facts of the story. That's what they don't seem to get. You're entitled to make a commentary, offer commentary or opinion analysis. Just label it on the screen. This is my opinion about that story and so forth. Now, when you get to the talk shows like an Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper or Don Lemon Fruitcake or when Chris Cuomo had his program, those are talk shows. Same thing like on Rachel Maddow. She's not a news anchor, but people misunderstand. And yet they know better. But the verbiage kind of gets them trapped. I would have, over the past 40-plus years I was a news anchor, if somebody'd call and say, hey, I want to talk to you about that commentary you did about the train wreck. I didn't do any commentary on a train wreck. Yes, you did. Said, that one down in South Illinois, you did that commentary? I said, that was a news story. I didn't add any comment to it. Oh, well, that's what I meant. Same thing. No, it's not. A commentary, an opinion piece, what I'm doing now is not news. Can CNN do some legitimate, good news reporting? I've seen it. I've looked at a couple of the stories. I have pulled them out and showed you. They presented it unbiased from everything I could see. Legitimate stories, heartbreaking stories in some cases. PBS, I've told you the same thing with them. Extremely liberal, but there are times they can do just some good, solid journalism without any twist thrown in there. That if it weren't for climate change, we might, you know, without anything at all like that. So when Stelter says, do some of our anchors make provocative comments and get played over and over? Well, yes. Then they shouldn't. You're either a news anchor or you're not. The problem with Stelter, his job is supposedly the pundit in chief. In other words, he's supposed to be the ombudsman for the audience for what CNN is doing wrong. He does not dare say. You want a perfect example? Let's go to comments made by Joe Concha. He's a contributor for Fox News. I want you to understand that. I always try to give you the balance. And he writes for The Hill. I want you to know all the facts. But he said, here we have Stelter talking about, as you just heard, we are a news organization and we stand by news. Then when Brian Stelter had his first report on reliable sources after Zucker resigned, not one mention in that program that date, that weekend, not one mention while it was happening. And then there's this other little part that Stelter would like you to just kind of dismiss, but Joe Concha says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to Joe.
I also believe that a network president of about 10 years has to abruptly resign because of a consensual relationship with another single executive. Not one person on the planet believes this yet. This is what CNN's media correspondent is trying to push. The bottom line is that Chris Cuomo apparently has the goods, the receipts on his former boss, and he wants to get paid out on his contract at this point. And to think that nobody knew about this relationship or CNN's media correspondent is suddenly shocked and surprised by all of this. He was very close to the network president, probably still is, probably still texting him multiple times a day on how to handle this. So what happens from here? That's up to the new stakeholders from Discovery. When they take over, they're going to look at this culture here at CNN and say, okay, who needs to stay and who needs to go, where we could get this stench off of us at this point.
And the only way to get the stench off is shut down the entire manure pile or remove all the pieces of manure that raise the stench, like a Brian Stelter claiming, we are CNN, we do news. And by listing the number of bureaus, I can prove that we're doing news. That doesn't prove anything. If so, explain why you ignored the biggest stories. Zucker, oh, it's your boss. Arse-kissing, we would call it. And they were doing the same thing previously. And remember when Project Veritas got some audio from Zucker himself managing news meetings every day, telling them we should cover this, not cover that, and it's all anti-Trump? That's the CNN chief telling the news division what to cover. That's not news. That's a political hatchet job. That's state-controlled media, or at that time, mainstream media. And if you want another example to show how bad CNN is failing at, quote, news, and this goes for ABC, CBS, NBC, New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC, and a handful of others, that until yesterday had not reported a single line about a story that broke last week when the Johns Hopkins University, this is not some far idiot group in a corner eating gumballs coming up with an idea. The Johns Hopkins researchers told us their study shows that radical draconian lockdowns were useless. They never should have been done. It hurt our kids. It affected the mortality rate by maybe 0.02%. Story was ignored all through the weekend on all of those networks I just listed until yesterday morning, early in the morning, they kind of slipped it in under the door a little bit to say, hey, we did cover that. Yeah, acting like it's news when it was, we told you last week about it. But again, here's Brian Zelter defending, we will persevere.
Jeff Zucker's departure was shocking to the staff of CNN. But CNN was not built by just one man, not by only Ted Turner, and it was not led only by Jeff Zucker. CNN is so much bigger than any single individual. It is about teams and teams of people, thousands of individuals who make up CNN. This place is not perfect. It will never be perfect. We will always have flaws. We will always screw up. We will always have to run corrections. We will always have to keep working to make it better and better and better every single day. That is the goal.
That is a goal, but you can't because you're starting with a pile of... All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the latest on Ukraine and what's happening there. And before we wrap up, how they, of course, they also have ignored that information about the trucker's convoy, unless they can make it look like a battle zone.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, here's the latest on Russia-Ukraine. Russian warships are now headed into the region. They're going down a strait where there's no room for them to turn around, so they've got to go ahead and continue their journey. Then what happens becomes the next issue. The troops are still amassed in around Belarus to the northern part of Ukraine, and, of course, to the east and to the south. My expert yesterday told me it's too muddy conditions right now, so they'll probably delay at least until March or April, get drier, if they proceed. And word, many believe that Putin really doesn't want to do this, but he's got no way to back out of this now. And, of course, Biden has said, we won't put any troops on the ground. But he said, I'm warning you, we will put in sanctions. We will shut down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Now, let's deal with that for just a second. This is a critical point for Germany and why Germany has not sent any arms or munitions to Ukraine. They'll send other things, but we're not going to send anything to fight against Russia because we want that pipeline. That pipeline, $11 billion undersea pipeline between Russia and Germany, is already complete. It's just a matter of turning it on. It could deliver 55 billion cubic meters of gas per year, more than 50% of Germany's annual consumption, so they need it. The point is, and it's completed, just waiting for official certification to operate. Can the U.S. kill it? Biden keeps saying, we'll shut it down. I'm not sure he's got authority to shut it down at this point. Trump did make efforts to delay and hold off on some of the construction while he was in office and trying to talk him out. We had hit the pipeline with sanctions also in 2017, 19, and 20, and imposed sanctions on the barge group that was being used to build this pipeline. Biden said, oh, I'll shut it down. Yeah, like I will cure COVID in the first 2 weeks. And the issue with the Ukrainians is obviously escalating. And then you've got this story, because we have so many Democrats that are suddenly so concerned about border security in Ukraine and ignoring what we have to the south, that would be our southern border, which doesn't exist now under the Biden administration. So Congressman Rosendale, Republican, Montana, not at the border, way up in Montana, issued legislation today, and I love it, absolutely love it. It would block security and military assistance to Ukraine until the U.S. southern border is secure. The Secure America's Border First Act would prohibit the expenditure or obligation of military and security assistance to Kiev until there is, quote, operational control of the U.S.-Mexico border. There's growing concern in D.C. about the Russian buildup. We have forces in Poland. We had an embassy staff inside Ukraine. They may still be there. They, of course, would have Marines with them. They supposedly are supposed to evacuate. If they're smart, if they watch what happened in Afghanistan, they damn well should now. Because you had the Secretary of the Pentagon saying, for the White House, I should say, the other day, it could happen, it's imminent. And General Milley said it could happen and they could have Kiev in their hands within 72 hours if the Russians want to. Talks continue. They may or may not work. But right now, Putin's got to be laughing in many ways. I mean, it's kind of in a spot. He's got to save face. You committed all these forces. Now what are you going to do with them? His own people really don't want it. His generals are not so sure it's going to be as easy as Putin thinks it is. They don't want to get into a quagmire. They don't want to follow the old road to Afghanistan that harmed them dramatically. They don't want to do a U.S. Vietnam situation or U.S. Afghanistan either. There's still a lot of roles to be played out. Coming up, let's revisit what's happening with that truck convoy in Canada and how they continue to tell you to follow the science, but they don't mean medical science, they mean political science. Coming up, stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, a state of emergency is in effect in Ottawa, Canada. That's because of ongoing protests there by truck drivers and their supporters who are upset with a COVID vaccine mandate for truckers crossing the U.S.-Canada border. The movement has virtually shut down the city and is gaining momentum and support from around the world. NBC News correspondent Ellison Barber is there. She joins us from Ottawa with the latest on this. Ellison, good morning. So first of all, a little backdrop. How did we get here and what are the truck drivers hoping to achieve from these protests?
Hey, Joe. Yeah, this started because truckers were frustrated, some of them, and disagreed with requirements to be vaccinated in order to cross the border. If you look at some of the signs you see here that have been displayed here, you can see that this protest has expanded well beyond that one specific vaccine mandate. Speaking with people here, reading the signs, most people we have spoken to say now this is about lifting any sort of pandemic mandate or restriction. Other people have come and gotten involved in this and sort of called for various political things. But at its core, most of the people we've spoken to, they say that they will stay out here until they see the COVID restrictions, any sort of mandate, be it at a federal level or just more at a local level, lifted.
Good, good. Canadian truckers saying we want to be free. We are a free country as well. We're tired of your restrictions, your lockdowns, your mandates for documentation of vax and so forth. And yet the far-left Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau continues to be in hiding, pretty much. He apparently has come down with COVID. That's the excuse. So he left Ottawa before the truckers got there. Some 500 trucks there now. And the Ottawa police chief said, we might need to call in the national, I mean, our army. There's no violence going on. They're not throwing Molotov cocktails. They're not destroying businesses. They're not threatening people. They have caused disruption, yes. And from time to time, they all want to hit their horns at the same time. You ever been around an air horn when it goes off? Remember when you were a kid sitting in the back seat of the car and a trucker would go around? Yeah, you want to hear that horn go and the truck driver off and oblige, right? And these truckers are just a front line of what's happening in Canada and elsewhere around the nation. And it is picking up steam to add the same thought about a trucker's convoy coming together in the U.S. The word here, I'm looking at something just came in that it has shut down the bridge from Detroit to Canada, the trucker's convoy. So Canadian lawmakers now, well, we're worried about the economic effects. Really? Really? Thought the COVID was some of your economic effects to begin with, right? Now we're worried about the economic effects of disrupted demonstrations after the busiest border crossing between the U.S. and Canada got partially blocked by truckers protesting COVID vaccine mandates and other restrictions. The Ottawa premier said the Ambassador Bridge between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, carrying 25% of the trade between the two countries, is vital. Says has serious implications in our economy and our supply chain. So did COVID, right? So did COVID, but now you're going to put it all on the truckers, right? One of the guys being quoted in this story lives near where the Truckers Prime staging area is in a city-owned parking lot outside the downtown core. And he says they're using the lot to terrorize people. It's the first time having kids, I've seriously wondered about the world we brought them into. This is the first time? This is the first time because some trucks are parked in the center of your city, honking their horns? That frightens you? Your liberal Justice Trudeau doesn't frighten you? And, of course, the demonstrations are also looking at blocking other roads coming into Canada. Protesters closing one near Alberta. And again, Prime Minister Trudeau basically and his family have fled their home in Ottawa for a secret location. You would think these guys are carrying bombs. All because of thousands of truckers in a freedom convoy protesting vaccine mandates made their way into the capital city. Now, I don't know if there are thousands. If there are 2,000, I don't like using the word 2,000 because when you say thousands, I think of multiples well beyond even two. I have seen specific reports of 1,500 to 2,500 to maybe 3,000. I'd rather stick with specific numbers instead of just throw something out there like that. But the Prime Minister has made very few comments, announced no policy to deal with the protest, and he made a last-minute appearance in Parliament on Monday before he suddenly bailed out, and he's repeatedly associating the anti-mandate protest. It burns me every time that Democrats, liberals all over think if we can bring out two things and label the other side with it, we will be victorious. One would be pull the race card. Pretty hard to pull the race card. But what he did do is pull the other card, the swastika. He says some of these anti-mandate protests were swastikas. Well, they may have some painted on some of their signs indicating this is what you're doing. You're trying to create a fascist state, and we're against Nazi rule. He still won't meet with them. And even conservatives are upset that he won't do anything because they say Trudeau's simply not been visible during the affair. That's their version of Joe Biden. Exactly. Canadian CTV broadcaster also noting that Trudeau is facing growing complaints from both sides that he is being MIA amid crisis. It's an excellent point. You don't want to talk to him, fine, but you should be seen with your cabinet. You should be seen somewhere as if you're doing something. Or maybe he's not. In fact, one of the columnists asked on the Globe and Mail today, where is the prime minister? Has he gotten nothing? What is he doing about this? There's a leadership void. And, of course, since Trudeau decided to label the truckers as Nazis and a lot of hate speech, you know, it had to happen. Immediately, someone started asking, how dare blackface enthusiast Justin Trudeau call anyone racist? That's right. Trudeau in the past, and more times than he says he can count, yeah, he did blackface. That was then. This is now. I'm sorry. I should be forgiven for it. One columnist at the Toronto Star, though, is applauding Trudeau. Well, you'd expect that. It would be like somebody here in the New York City Times applauding Biden for being such a great leader at our border. We're talking about the southern border. The columnist wrote, Trudeau should be applauded for being, quote, at the forefront of efforts to keep aggressive populism at bay. The demonstrators are not the face of law-abiding, mostly vaccinated Canadians, but a fed-up public that is fraying in the face of repeated pandemic restraints and fears for the future. They're ignoring, of course, that Johns Hopkins report that came out the other day that said these draconian lockdowns, mask mandates, basically accomplished nothing, especially with kids. I'm not an anti-vaxxer myself. I have told you that. I've encouraged you to talk to your doctor and make decisions best for you and your family. Some who had trained hard to be in the Olympics did not go because they were going to have to go be vaccinated. They wouldn't want to do it. And then, of course, none of them want to acknowledge they still have natural immunity. Natural immunity exists. Of course, the CDC quickly rushes in and saying that back in October of 21, says getting vaccinated for the coronavirus when you already had COVID-19 will enhance your immune protection. Then in August 21 said if you've had COVID-19 and you're not vaccinated, your risk of being reinfected is higher. So they don't want to accept natural immunity. And it's all because they're not following science, medical science. It's political science. And politics is on the stage at the Olympics. The winner that is basically crashing the China social media platform with her win is kind of caught in a political situation as well. You may not know her story, and I think it's worth us breaking it down for you. This is an American competing for the Chinese team. That story still to come.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
road. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One final point about the truck driver's convoy in Canada. As you know, there was a GoFundMe account that started in raising millions of dollars immediately. And then suddenly the GoFundMe company that runs all this and takes a commish off of each GoFundMe raiser decided, oh, this is hateful stuff they're doing up there, and we're not going to support anything that's creating violence and hate. There's been no reports of violence. I cannot stress that again. No major reports of any kind of violence. I don't know if there have been a few fist fights, but it's not burning down Ottawa. It's not throwing firebombs. It's simply parking trucks and honking their horns and blocking some borders. So be it. But GoFundMe made that claim that we won't support stuff like that. Well, the Federalists did a great job in by Ellie Reynolds looking at 18 different fundraisers GoFundMe did support that helped the riots. Of course, we're talking about the Portland, the Seattle, Minneapolis riots, raising money there. Crime, like raising money for bail release or make sure they don't have any bail they have to post. Abortion, there are also deaths you know involved in abortion. You know that. And genital mutilation. GoFundMe for supporting genital mutilation. And yet they say, well, what we're this thing up there with the truckers, that's just way beyond the pale. So we're going to shut it down. Well, they're under investigation now. Good. And they say they're going to give the money to charity. Now they say they're just going to send it back to everybody that sent it to them. The folks that sent it said, I want it to go to the truckers to help them. And then the other thing is, how about all the money you collected? Where's that going to go? So China's leading social media platform. Yeah, they do have one, which can be switched on and off at any moment, just like YouTube could do with us here. I failed to mention we are live again on YouTube, live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Get a little late for this hour, but we'll be doing it again the second hour. Larry Connors USA YouTube live streaming. But the reason the China social media platform crashed is because Eileen Gu, 18 years old, jumped into the top position of the women's big ear competition, making a score that nearly beat out France, and she took silver. And she's very excited, and I understand that. She's an Olympian. She's excited. The Chinese are also excited because it's a silver for the Chinese. Eileen Gu was born and raised in California, but decided in 2019 she would compete for China, known as a snow princess among her Chinese fans. There's an ice skater from America that gave up her citizenship and went back to China so she could be a star in China's ice skating, and she's fallen twice, and many of the Chinese are upset with her and said, we had better people, should have let her in. Now, why would an American decide to go compete for another country they weren't born in, and then they'd come here and then wanted to go back and help? Was it because they were sure they could make the team, but they couldn't make the USA team? I don't know. I don't know. But the 18-year-old Eileen Gu from San Francisco did get asked by reporters during a press conference, had you relinquished your U.S. citizenship to compete for China? Her answer, I've always been super outspoken about my gratitude to the U.S., especially the U.S. team. I feel as though they've helped me out much in my development. They continue to support me. The same with the Chinese team. They've always been super supported. They've helped me so much. So that in a sense, I think that speaks volumes of the ability of sport to bridge the gap and to be a force for unity. Well, that's a very nice answer, Eileen. I'm sure it was well thought out. I think the question was, did you renounce your U.S. citizenship? That was simple, yes or no. We didn't get that answer. I'm happy for the young lady that she was able to do as well as she did. I, anybody that makes that kind of sacrifice to train, regardless of which country they represent, even if she were born in China and she won it. Congratulations to her. If it was properly judged, and I assume it was, I'm granting that. But, of course, you remember what Nancy Pelosi told our Olympians, U.S. Olympians, before you go to China? Don't use it as a platform to speak out against China or anything. They're dangerous, dangerous people. We're going to review that in the next hour and also put it in context with Nancy's husband and his business dealings with China. Maybe that's why she knows they're dangerous, dangerous people. And then, of course, the concern is, how compromised is Nancy Pelosi? How compromised is Joe Biden? How compromised is our national security? We've got those stories and a special tribute to a Sergeant Gans of the St. Louis area who was in the Battle of the Bulge, just passed away. An amazing story. That's still to come. So please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.